Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press. We'll start with local news. Applications to be taken for heat and electrical help. The Champaign County Regional Planning Commission, RPC, is bringing the Low Income Energy Assistance Program, LIHEAP, directly to Rantoul residents. A special event on Saturday, November 16th at the Community Service Center of Northern Champaign County will allow residents to apply for the LIHEAP on a first-come, first-served basis. LIHEAP provides winter heating assistance for eligible households, with benefits going toward residential natural gas and electric bills. The event in Rantoul lasts from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Saturday, November 16th, at the center located at 520 East Wabash Avenue. Those eligible to apply for the program include low-income seniors, 60 and older, persons with permanent disabilities, those with pending disability status with Social Security, low-income households that contain a child under age 5, disconnected or imminent disconnection for households. A single-person household can qualify with a monthly income for up to $1,561, a two-person household up to $2,114, a three-person household up to $2,666, and a family of four up to $3,219. Benefits are paid directly to utilities on behalf of eligible households. The exception is households whose heating costs are included in their rent. The RPC needs the following documentation to process applications: photo ID, proof of 30-day income, Social Security cards for all household members, most recent utility bill, and applications will be taken at the Rantoul event November 16th on a first-come, first-served basis. Morning fire causes about $35,000 damage to Rantoul home. A Rantoul apartment building sustained an estimated $35,000 damage by fire Wednesday morning. Firefighters were called to the 1000 block of St. Andrew's Circle at 7 a.m. Fire Chief Ken Waters said fire broke out on the wall between apartments and extended to the outside. When I arrived, the fire was showing on the front porch corner between the two apartments, Waters said. Rantoul police evacuated the residents of six apartments. All of the residents either left the scene or got into their vehicles to stay warm in the unseasonably cold weather. Waters said all of the apartments remain habitable, and the residents were able to return except for those living at 1062 St. Andrew's Circle. Their names were not immediately available. Firefighters cleared the scene about 9 a.m. The Rantoul Department, which responded with 10 firefighters, who assisted by four or five firefighters from the Thomasboro Department via mutual aid, Waters said. Rantoul had one engine, a ladder truck, and one rescue unit at the scene. Northview School participates in Walk to School Day. Northview Elementary students, Rantoul, recently participated in the International Walk to School Day, a global event that involves communities from more than 40 countries walking and biking to school on the same day. Over time, the event has become part of a movement for year-round safe routes to school. Nearly 50% of Northview students either walk or ride a bike to school. Ensuring that our students have safe paths to either walk or ride a bike to school is a priority for our school and community, Principal Kelly Mahoney said. Next summer, the village and school district are working together through the help of a Safe Routes to School grant to extend sidewalks from the school to the community. Rantoul woman accused of breaking into home, threatening residents. A Rantoul woman who allegedly took part in breaking into a home in that village and threatening its residents is in police custody. Sierra Breeze, 24, who listed an address in the 1300 block of Juniper Drive, was arrested Friday on a warrant issued in August after she was charged with residential burglary and intimidation. She was arraigned Tuesday. Assistant State's Attorney Kristen Alferink said about 6:10 p.m. August 12th, Breeze and a man allegedly forced their way into a home in the 1200 block of Aspen Drive and stole a child's bicycle while the residents were at the grocery store. They returned to find Breeze and the man in their living room and their door off its hinges. Alferink said the man admitted they took the boy's bicycle, but said he would return it if the residents handed over Xanax pills. The owners ordered them out and called police. Breeze reportedly returned before police arrived and renewed the demand for the anti-anxiety pills. When the residents again refused, she allegedly told them they would find their son's bicycle in pieces and to watch out because their house was going to get firebombed that night. In addition to being charged with residential burglary and intimidation in connection with that incident, Breeze was wanted in an unrelated case in which the state had filed a petition to revoke the probation she received in May for possession of a controlled substance. The petition alleged she violated her probation by missing several appointments. She's being held in lieu of $30,000 bond in both cases. Judge Adam Dill told her to be back in court December 17th on the residential burglary and intimidation charges, and on November 20th on her petition to revoke probation. Fire Department starts new training program. The Rantoul Fire Department is in the process of implementing a new training program called Target Solution. It's an online program in which all firefighters receive assignments online and work on modules for what they are going to train on. They have a month to work on the module. They then take a test, and the following Wednesday practice the physical part of what they have done online. Fire Department Captain Rich Carr discussed the program at a recent meeting of the Rantoul Exchange Club, which annually honors local firefighters for Fire Prevention Week. Carr said the training method, which is for volunteers who are already part of the department, has been helpful. He said four firefighters have joined the department, which will bring the total to 33. Derek Burns, Taylor Shannon, Corey Haltewanger, and Donald Wazorek. The four will start firefighter basic training in January. They will train during the year-long program for two nights a week and one Saturday a month. It's quite a commitment for these firefighters to get on, Carr said. It's a lot of training. This training that they go through is required by the state and the village of Rantoul. In addition to passing the training to be a firefighter, a prospective firefighter must be at least 21 years of age and pass a physical abilities test and a written test. Firefighters are considered part-time employees of the village. A background check is conducted. Carr said it is important that the department get up to its full complement of 33 firefighters because many of them work out of town and aren't available for daytime calls. Some also work night shifts. The lack of manpower available during the day stretches the firefighters pretty thin when they present fire prevention programs at local schools. It generally takes about 13 firefighters to do the programs. Carr said the department is considering buying a blow-up screen with computer to project on so just a couple of guys can go to a school and do a presentation. He said the department is working with Rantoul Township High School to update the fire prevention program, which hasn't changed in at least 25 years. I think the high school kids will give us a real opportunity to get into the minds of what the younger kids are thinking these days, Carr said. Make it more interactive and computer-based. Carr said there are some officers in the department who are considering retirement. Finding volunteers can be difficult, he said. People just don't want to volunteer like before, Carr said. There is so much more pressure on people. It really does take a special kind of person to want to do this. You're asking them to put their lives on the line. Carr said the firefighters are proud of their community and glad to serve. He said they couldn't do it without the support of their spouses, who have to deal with all the odd hours, missed dinners, and missed school events. In the past year, the department has responded to 4 structure fires, 11 vehicle fires, 35 vehicle accidents, 83 false alarms, and 47 carbon monoxide calls, for a total, as of the end of the month, of 333 calls. The average number of calls a year is 400. Damages have totaled about $212,000 so far, including a house fire on Kenneth Drive that did $90,000 damage, a house fire on North Maplewood Drive, $110,000, a car fire on Broad Meadow, $1,000, and a vehicle accident on Interstate 57, $10,000. During the past 3 years, the department has bought a pumper and rescue truck that pumps 1,250 gallons a minute, price tag $564,000, and a 2016 Pierce tanker that holds 3,000 gallons of water, $300,000. Carr said the department is also looking to replace its 1985 ladder truck. That will cost about $1.2 million. He said Village Administrator Scott Eisenhower and Fire Chief Ken Waters have been talking about finding the dollars to buy the ladder truck. He said Fire Captain Chad Smith has also been involved. I do know, if things progress with the sports complex and additional hotels, that our 75-foot ladder we have now will not make the grade. It's going to be important to get the new one, Carr said. In addition to giving fire prevention programs in elementary schools, the department took part in the RTHS Mock Crash National Night Out and has delivered its smokehouse to area communities. The Exchange Club presented the department with a check for $1,000. Author tells students of her childhood struggles, fears, and joys. Author Hina Khan frequently had her nose in a book as a child. Her favorite work was Little Women. But she never really thought of an author as a person, just a name on the front cover. Students in the project LIT group at Rantoul's J.W. Eater Junior High now can't say the same thing as they got to meet Khan, author of the popular Amina's Voice book via Skype. Like Khan, Amina is a Muslim-American child of Pakistani immigrants. She talks in the book about her joys and fears, her shyness, her concerns about how to act and find her place in her middle school years. Should she think more like her Pakistani elders or her American friends? It was just a way to explore for me what mattered to me as a kid. Family and friendship above everything else, Khan said. Khan was raised in Maryland. She said she enjoys writing about her culture and religion. For instance, because many Americans don't know what goes on in a mosque, she writes what it's like and about the time the mosque was vandalized. Members of the Project Lit group said they like to write, mostly for fun. The group meets every other Wednesday after school. Members are given 3 books they can choose from to read and discuss for the month. Eater Literacy Specialist Kellen Sirach said the members can read any or all of the books. Khan talked about her writing practices. She likes to do an outline before she starts a book, and just because she's a successful writer, she doesn't always feel confident. Sometimes a little voice in her head says, "This is no good," she said with a laugh. She doesn't have one set area of her home where she puts words to laptop. She rotates around the house, and while she has a dedicated office in her home, she doesn't like being there that much. She rotates to 2 different areas of the house to write. One place she likes to write is the dining room. And she said she doesn't write well on demand or on a schedule. She needs to feel the muse. I envy those writers who are very disciplined about it, and every morning they get up and have a jog and a cup of coffee, and then sit down and write. I'm all over the place. I write late at night or early in the morning or in the afternoon, Khan said. It's hard to force creativity. Khan said, like the Project Lit students, she liked to write for fun when she was young. It's a great way to get used to it. I wrote plays and had a family newspaper. She didn't study creative writing or plan to be an author. I didn't think anyone like me could be an author. I'd never met one. They were just names on a book cover. Khan said it's good to have an outlet and a voice, and believing you have a voice when you're young is awesome. I don't think enough of us feel like we have a voice when we're young. She is writing a sequel to Amina's Voice and asked the students their opinion of 2 choices for the new title, either Amina's Song or Amina's Promise. The latter title drew the most votes. Khan has also written more to the story, which was inspired by her love for Little Women. Some of the storylines she took from the older book with changes. One of her favorite books that she has read recently is Other Words from Home, which the group is scheduled to read in February. She called it very, very moving and beautifully written. She also liked The Best at It, about an Indian American boy who is struggling with his identity. Lucky Broken Girl and The Night Diary, the latter of which talks about the partitioning of India and Pakistan, which is something her father went through. 6th graders Lorelei Hazel and Emily Lynn McAllister both appreciated Khan's talk, and both are enjoying her book. Hazel said she just started reading it. So far it's lighthearted, Hazel said. Not sad, but there's some stuff like the part where Amina's best friend wants to change her name because she immigrated from Korea to America. It made me sad because I really do like the name. If I was in that situation, it would be hard to start calling my best friend a different name. Hazel said she loves to read and likes a whole bunch of books, fantasy and historical fiction. She doesn't care for nonfiction. McAllister said she has started the book. So far, I like it a lot, she said. I feel like it kind of relates to me. She said, like Amina, she is a dancer. McAllister said she will stop reading a book if it doesn't interest her, but that is not the case with Amina's voice. This one I feel like I have to keep on reading, she said. At night I don't like to read, but this is one I want to read at night and finish. Like Hazel, McAllister likes to read a variety of books. Serac said Project Lit is a national grassroots movement started by a teacher in Nashville to eliminate book desert, which is a geographic area that doesn't have high-interest books available. A number of chapters have sprouted in this country and overseas. This marks the first year for Project Lit at EDER. Serac said she would like to get the community involved as well and has invited the Board of Education and will invite other groups in the district. It's a good way for the students to realize that everybody reads, not just students, she said. As literacy specialist, Serac works with 6th through 8th graders who might be reading below grade level. Prior to this year, she taught 8th grade reading for 3 years at EDER. World record set. Weather and low crowd numbers take off some of the luster of Punkin' Chunkin'. Kevin Appleby was on a golf cart preparing to head over to watch some of the World Championship Punkin' Chunkin' competition when he got a call. The Chuck Norris machine had just hit a massive shot that organizers thought might have landed on the Willow Pond golf course that Appleby owns. They called me, and I jumped on my RTV and drove right over to where it was. It was right to the south of the 6th tee, Appleby said. The shot was a world's record for a mechanical device, a catapult. The distance was 4,091 feet. It outshot every other pump machine at Punkin' Chunkin', which was held on the grounds of Rantoul National Aviation Center. It's the first mechanical joining of the 4,000-foot club, said a jubilant Frank Payton, president of the Punkin' Chunkin' Association. We're talking air cannons have been winning every year since 94. The last time a mechanical one was 1993. The Chunk Norris catapult was powered by essentially a rubber band. If you have a slingshot, it's more heavy duty, more industrial type that fired the machine, Payton said. Appleby got a hat signed by the Chunk Norris crew and took a group photo. It was a memorable event. For Payton, the weekend was a case of good news, bad news. The crowds were down, and so were the number of machines that showed up, 23 compared to more than 100 at Punkin' Chunkin's last championship in 2016 in Delaware. The charity event, even though operating with a bare-bones budget of about $150,000, compared to about $500,000 before, still lost money, Payton said. The crowds were very, very low. I'm spending the entire time thinking about that on the way home, he said Monday morning, while he headed back to Delaware. I do know about the Illinois football game, and it was Dad's weekend. There were a lot of things going against us and the weather. It was cold. Rain and snow during the week made the grounds muddy. Some machines cut large ruts in the ground. But Peyton is a glass-half-full kind of guy. We had a blast. We haven't done this since 2016. It was nice to get back together. It was really cool seeing history made, Payton said of the Chunk Norris distance. While the number of chunkers was down, Payton said that turned out to be a good thing because there was difficulty getting shots off. Each chunker was supposed to get 3 shots both Saturday and Sunday, but they got only 2 each. One problem was tracking the pumpkins to where they fell for measurement. Getting to the pumpkins made for a long waits between shots. There is no way to use any type of vehicles to get on the runway to the pumpkins quick enough, he said of airport regulations. The airport did not allow us to put mud on the runway. I understand that. They had to drive the golf cart down to the runway and then work into a semi-plowed field to try to find pumpkins. He said organizers will hold a post-event meeting to determine whether Punkin' Chunkin' returns next year. When you lose money like this, should we have taken that money and given it to charity and not continue trying to be profitable and hopefully bring it back and make money over time, Payton wondered aloud. This is one of the questions that has to be answered. He called Rantoul the best option they have at present. The question is whether problems can be worked out. It costs $5,000 a day to use the airport. Whether Punkin' Chunkin' board members would consider moving the event up a few weeks in hopes of getting better weather might be considered. But Payton said, if we moved it up, would we be changing tradition we've had since 1986? One positive, Payton said, was the vendor area next to Grissom Hall Hangar. Initially, the vendors were scheduled to be located just west of the Chunkin' staging area, but the field was too muddy for that. Peyton said he thought the Grissom Hall area worked better anyway. The beer garden was awesome, Peyton said. Utilizing the interior of that hangar, that was really, really impressive. We'll turn now to the death notices for the week. Emma Carpenter, 100, of Gifford, passed away Thursday evening, November 7th, at Country Health Care and Rehab Gifford. A funeral service was held Wednesday at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Gifford. She will be buried beside her husband in Hull's Cemetery, Gifford. Arrangements are being handled by Lux Memorial Chapel, Rantoul. Judith Elaine Kottman, 77, of Royal, passed away November 8th at her home. Funeral services were held Tuesday, November 12th at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Flatville. Burial followed in Kottman Cemetery, Royal. Memorials may be made to Shriners Hospitals or Kottman Cemetery. Condolences may be offered at BayerFuneralServices.com. Sue Hofer, 76, of Rankin, sister of a Paxton resident, died Saturday, November 9th at home. Funeral services were held Wednesday at St. Anthony Catholic Church, Hoopston. Burial was in Rankin Union Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Paxton Daycare, Rankin Lions Club, or St. Anthony Catholic Church. Her guest book may be signed at coxnap.com. Henry Hamill, 83, of Rantoul, died November 10th at home, surrounded by family and loved ones. A funeral service was held Wednesday at St. Elizabeth Catholic Church, Thomasboro. Burial was in St. Elizabeth Cemetery. Rebecca Becky S. Wormnest, 65, of Sibley, mother of a Paxton resident, died at 3:56 a.m. on Sunday, November 10th at Gibson Area Hospital, Gibson City. Her funeral service was held Thursday, November 14th at Rosenbaum Funeral Home, Gibson City. Interment will be in Drummer Township Cemetery, Gibson City. Memorials may be made to the Gibson Area Hospital Scholarship Fund or to the outpatient clinic. Online condolences and memories may be left for her family at rosenbaumfh.com. Betty J. McDuffie, 81, of Ivesdale and formerly of Urbana, mother of a Thomasboro resident, died November 10th. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, November 16th at Renner Wyckoff Chapel, 1900 South Philo Road, Urbana. Burial will be in Grandview Memorial Gardens, rural Champaign. Visitation will be from 6 to 8 p.m. Friday at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to OSF Hospice, 1501 Interstate Drive, Champaign, Illinois, 61820. Condolences may be offered at renner-wyckoffchapel.com. Tracy McGill Hedrick, 77, of Penfield, died unexpectedly Friday, November 8th. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Saturday, November 16th at Blurton Funeral Home, 400 North Vermilion Street, Potomac. Burial will be in Potomac Cemetery. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Friday at the funeral home. In lieu of gifts, the family asks for donations in Mr. Hedrick's name to St. Jude's. This concludes the reading of the death notices for the week. We'll now return and finish with local news. State Senator to be in Rantoul. State Senator Scott Bennett, Democrat, Champaign, will host a town hall meeting in Rantoul next week. The 52nd District Senator will discuss the fall veto session and invites constituents to help him plan his legislative agenda. He will be at Rantoul Township High School Cafetorium from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Wednesday, November 20th. For more information, call 217-355-5252 or visit SenatorBennett.com. And now a column from the opinion page from Ryan Birch, Rantoul Press Sports Editor. I hope you believe in miracles. If you don't believe in miracles, then I really hope you didn't watch the Illini football game on Saturday. In case you didn't see it, the Illini trailed Michigan State 28-3 just before half, before a Hail Mary got the Illini within 18 points at halftime. Michigan State kicked a field goal to put the Spartans up 31-10, which is where the score stayed, going into the fourth quarter. And that is where it got wild. The Illini scored on the first play of the quarter on an 81-yard touchdown pass to Josh Imatorbebe to cut the Spartans' lead to 14. The Illini got a stop and scored again on a Reggie Corbin touchdown to cut the lead to 31-24. Both teams turned the ball over on their next possession. Michigan State had the ball right around midfield on a 3rd and 10 when one of the biggest plays in Illini football history happened. The Spartans quarterback, Brian Lewerke, stepped back and fired a pass that was intercepted by Sidney Brown. Brown then veered toward the sideline and took it all the way to the house to cut the lead to 31-30. As if the game needed any more dynamic dramatics, the score stayed at 31-30 when James McCourt missed the extra point. The Spartans then kicked a field goal, making the score 34-30, Michigan State with just over 3 minutes remaining. The Illini had a few first downs before a couple of disastrous plays brought up a 4th and 18 with the game on the line. The man who started the comeback kept it alive when Imatorbebe snagged a jump ball to give the Illini new life. But once again, the Illini faced a 4th down, this time on the goal line. Illini quarterback Brandon Peters floated a ball to the back corner of the end zone, and the pass fell incomplete. Ball game over, right? Wrong. There was pass interference on the play, giving the Illini once again new life. After 2 failed attempts at a score, the Illini were facing a 3rd down with the clock running out. Peters rolled to the sideline and flicked a pass to Daniel Barker in the back of the end zone to give Illinois the 37-34 comeback, which is now the biggest comeback in Illinois football history. If you watched that game at home, you were probably running around and trying to find ways to continue breathing. Now just imagine what it would be like to be at the stadium in East Lansing. Fortunately for me, I don't have to imagine because I was there. I drove the 4.5 hours on Saturday morning to watch the Illini have a chance to go to a bowl game for the first time in 5 years. All my life I've been going to games and I've had the pleasure of seeing some incredible games in my life, but nothing has ever compared to what I witnessed on Saturday. The scene in the corner of the end zone where we were sitting with the rest of the Illini fans is something I will never forget. For years we have been asking to just go to a bowl game, and now that is happening. I can't think of a better way to become bowl eligible than that game on Saturday. I still don't know exactly how it happened, but it did. My heart rate is finally back to a normal state, and the Illini are going bowling. And there is not a whole lot more you can ask for than that. ILL. And a letter to the editor. Village should contribute for Vet Memorial. This is just a simple question, not wanting to ruffle anyone's feathers, but reading the Rantoul Press, I see on the front page an article indicating that Rantoul would contribute $100,000 toward the expansion of the forum. For years, Rantoul has tried to build a veterans memorial wall, like so many other small towns honor. I realize most of the money raised for the memorial has been through the sale of bricks and contributions. I have bought 2 bricks, one for my husband, who is a Marine Corps Desert Storm vet, and one for my dad, a World War II vet. Since the memorial wall has been on the table for quite some time, it seems appropriate if Rantoul has $100,000 to contribute to the forum that we could allocate some of the $100,000 to the wall and fundraiser for the balance for the forum. Would eventually like to see that veterans memorial wall and my 2 bricks on it in my lifetime. J. A. Miller, Rantoul. Tamara, signing off for the Rantoul Press. Hope to read with you soon.